You're listening to KC Forum with Kathy Quinn, public affairs with an entertaining spin.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to KC Forum right here on this radio station every Sunday, 6:30 to 7, public affairs with an entertaining spin. And when you can't hear it here during the week, go to our website, fox4kc.com/kcforum. I'm Kathy Quinn. I'm your host during the week. I am on Fox 4 reporting on the morning show and then the weekends, public affairs with an entertaining spin. And we thought we'd start off this weekend talking about holiday tips for you folks who are out there shopping, so you don't want to miss that. Also, at Fox 4, one of our family members was suffering from depression. We're going to talk about suicide and what are the signs to look for coming up in just a few moments. Also, the Don Bosco Center takes care of its senior citizens. They've been there for many, many, many years. What they're doing this holiday season, we'll find out coming up in just a few moments. But first up, we have Master Patrol Officer Jim Shriver with the Kansas, Missouri Police Department. How are you, Officer?
I'm great. Thank you.
All right. The reason I want to talk to you is because I understand that you try to help folks during the holidays, or you teach classes, or you help folks out there who are doing their holiday shopping, and they don't realize that there are concerns that they should have. How can folks be safe out there?
Well, we want to make sure that everybody understands that crime can occur anywhere to anyone at any time. There's not specific areas or specific times that crime can occur. Everybody needs to be vigilant about crime and be aware of crime.
What are we seeing nowadays?
What we see nowadays, one of the most prevalent crimes is people failing to secure items of value inside of their vehicles, especially during the holiday season. That is making the criminals, it's just basically tempting the criminals to break into the vehicles. Within a few seconds, a vehicle can be broken into and those items of value can be removed with very minimal detection.
Oh, a couple years ago, all these laptops were taken from a hotel parking lot where they just boom, 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 just went down the line.
And what most people don't understand is one of the most common questions I receive is, "Officer, my alarm did not activate when my window was broke." And that's very common. It's a misunderstanding amongst our community. The factory-installed alarm systems do not cover glass breakage, and the criminals know that. They know for that alarm to activate, they have to open up the door. So the guys that are committing the crimes, they're busting out the windows, leaning inside the vehicle, grabbing items of value, and getting out of the area as quickly as possible.
You know what? I never even knew that. That's great. So now our listeners know, you know, it's not going to cover the windows. Is it safe to put items in the trunk, or are they going to be watching you to put things in the trunk if you have to go back in and do more shopping?
It's a safer alternative, but not the best alternative. What we try to make sure everybody understands is we want them to secure that property upon their destination. Even though putting the items is a more secure location, it does not say, or does not mean that that lock of that trunk cannot be popped and access gained.
Gosh, that is so frustrating because you think, okay, it's going to be safe in my own vehicle. And these folks, you don't even know where they are. They're watching. And especially around the holidays, because, you know, we're all kind of in a frazzle. We've got our lists out. We're not thinking clearly the way we normally would because we have so many things that are going on at this time. I just came back from the shopping center. It is really, really, really crowded. And, you know, you've got armfuls of bags and you've got your wallet. I always tell my daughters to don't take a big purse with you. Stick it in a pocket. Put it underneath your coat, something like that. What do you say to the folks out there?
That's also some great information, Kathy. Yeah, definitely. We don't want to carry bags. We want to limit the size of our purses as well as the contents that we keep inside of our purses. Typically, when I teach the women's self-defense class, we get into a discussion because a lot of women are prone to carry a lot of valuables inside their purses that they really don't need to be carrying with them. The criminals know that, and we want to make sure our community protects themselves.
All right. What would you suggest them doing, for instance? Somebody's trying to grab your bag. Do you hold it and say no? What do you recommend?
You know, we want to make sure that it's a tough situation to call. The way that we try to teach in our personal safety classes is remember that items of value are not worth getting hurt over. So we don't want that crime to escalate because it depends on the level of violence in that person committing that crime. A lot of them will escalate the physical attack until they can overcome the resistance. But then a lot of them won't. So it's tough to determine. But we always tell everybody, if you do wish to fight back, we ask you to have some type of training, have some knowledge in the personal safety field, know what you're doing, and not end up getting yourself hurt.
And that's where you come in.
That's correct. We do teach women's personal safety classes. We do teach our community how to be safer.
All right. So if they'd like to get more information on the classes, does it cost anything? Where can they go? Where can they find out more information?
They can either contact us on our website at www.kcpd.org, or they can call me directly at area code 816-759-6313.
You know, it's just so maddening when feel so violated when, you know, your wallet's stolen, your something in your car, it's broken out. It's just so frustrating. But this is the time, and all the time you need to be safe out there. But I'm saying during the holidays, when you're out shopping, be extra careful. What if you could tell our folks out there one or two or three things, boom, 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 right now, what to do during the holidays when they're out shopping? That'd be great.
Just prepare yourself, you know, and make sure that you are secure in your items of value. Number two is, during this holiday season, if you are fortunate enough to receive an expensive electronics item, an item of value, take extra precaution in the disposal of those cartons. For instance, if you do get a 60-inch big screen TV, utilize neighborhood recycling centers to dispose of that carton. Don't put it out in curbside recycling, because basically what you're telling the criminal is you just received a large item of value inside of your house. And again, one of the things that we notice is when people receive these larger items, they do like to brag about them. This time of year, we see the windows left open, putting that big screen on display for everybody driving up and down the street to see.
No. Okay.
It's pretty common, believe it or not. And we definitely strongly discourage that.
All right.
We do know we have criminals that are shopping, and their shopping is driving up and down streets looking for these indicators of items of value. Basically, our community is doing the work for the criminals. Why break into a house where you don't know what's inside, where you can break into a house that our resident has just told us what we've got inside?
So they're doing window shopping using your windows.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you so very much, Master Patrol Officer Jim Shriver. And if you'd like to find out more about those classes, get in touch. He gave you the information. And, you know, you have a very safe holiday. I know you guys work doubly hard during the holidays. And thank you so much for taking time to talk to us and help us out.
Thank you, Kathy. We appreciate everything that you do for the community.
All right. We got more on the way. Don't touch that dial.
Hang on. There's more on the way with Kathy Quinn and KC Forum.
Back to Body is my best kept secret. I don't even tell my friends about Back to Body. About tanning, waxing, and massages that I get from their licensed estheticians and massage therapists. I don't tell my friends that Back to Body is affordable, and how after I leave their studio at 7830 State Line, how I feel so polished and pampered. Andrea and Jenny make me feel so comfortable and important. They want to make people feel good about themselves, and I do. I want to keep Back to Body to myself. Tanning, waxing, and massages, I may not tell my friends, but I'll tell you. Give them a call at 816-830-8610 and make an appointment. Or log on to www.backtobody.com. Remember, Back to Body is our little secret. Call 816-830-8610. Tell them you heard it on KC Forum and get a special discount.
Good morning, everyone. If you just tuned in, we are talking to Ben Cascio from the Don Bosco Center. Mr. Don, you're having a busy time right now for the holidays, right?
Yes, we are. We're very busy right now.
You know what? I want to kind of point in on the elderly, the seniors, because you do so many things with the seniors there in the neighborhood.
Yes, we do. We do.
Kind of explain what's going on.
Well, our senior center is probably one of the biggest and longest senior centers in the Kansas City area. So, you know, anytime, any day, we'll probably have between 200 and 250 people through our senior center.
Oh,
so it's quite well attended.
All right. So let's start at the beginning then. Don Bosco Center. how did it start out?
Don Bosco Center originally started out 72 years ago, and it was really a community center in the Columbus Park, north end part of the city, predominantly an Italian part of the city, and it was really designed to be a community center to keep young people off the street. As the neighborhood changed over the years, we got into more social services. So we have a senior center, a youth center, and a family support center, and an ESL, which is English as a Second Language center.
Oh, my gosh, you have so much going on over there.
Yes, we do.
The seniors, all right, we talk about, for instance, the Fox 4 Love Fund. We talk about helping the teenagers. They're a tough group to try to provide gifts for Christmas, for the holidays. But the seniors can be just as tough. They've got their own special needs.
You know, they really do. They have their own special needs, and a lot of times the needs are just really simple things. So they're things like, you know, hygiene kind of things and slippers and, you know, and really kind of simple needs, simple basic, you know, life needs that they have.
Does the community help you out, Ben, with any of the programs that you have? Obviously, volunteers are a big deal.
Volunteers are a big deal. We also have quite a lot of support. Today, as a matter of fact, we're going to have Aramark is going to come down, and they will do a desserts day for the seniors, which is they really look forward to. And so they will have dessert and play bingo, and it's a very social and exciting, you know, holiday event for them that they look forward to every year.
How long have you been with the center?
I've been with the center since June.
Since June. And,
yes.
You know, I've been down there many times. It's just always something going on. There's always busy, busy, busy.
You know, it's extremely busy. I mean, the Northeast area is a large area, and I grew up in the Northeast, and I've been on the board before, so I know some of the needs of the Northeast. But the Northeast is a large population, and so there are a lot of needs of that population. And our seniors, you know, to value the seniors the way that I think the community does is really, really important. And they're a very vital part, an energetic part of our neighborhood.
Okay, so you grew up in that neighborhood.
Yes.
I didn't realize that. So you may know a lot of these folks that attend the senior center.
Absolutely. It's very hard for me to go down there and not have somebody ask about my grandmother or my father or somebody like that. Yeah, so it's very nice to see people that I grew up with or people that know each other through family connections or what have you. Yeah, it's very nice.
All right, I kind of know what the neighborhood's all about, but describe it for folks who may be listening right now and why the Don Bosco Center is so important for that Northeast area, mainly Italian.
Well, you know what? The Columbus Park area used to be mainly Italian. What we find in the Northeast today is it's probably the most culturally diverse part of the city, which is very interesting. In our ESL program, we probably have about 15 languages spoken.
Oh, my goodness.
And many more dialects than that. So, you know, we talk about the Northeast kind of being, you know, the international marketplace of Kansas City, and it really is. And a long time ago, when the Mayor Cleaver was the mayor, he talked about Don Bosco being, you know, kind of the UN of the city. and it really is, because the Northeast really is. It has that kind of diversity. I mean, we've got everybody from Italian community, to the Vietnamese community, Somalian community. It's really a melting pot, and it's a wonderful, diverse culture.
How do you, with your seniors, how do you incorporate everything that they all do, their traditions and everything for the holidays, for Christmas?
You know, it's really interesting. Those groups get together, you know, they really have fun. I mean, we have a Latino population that, When some seniors are playing cards during the day, they're playing dominoes, and we have Vietnamese groups, and they've got their games that they play during the day, and those cultures that get along very, very well and mix and bond and share stories, and so it's very exciting to watch. It's very exciting to observe, and they have a great time. It's a very, you know, our seniors are very energized. They do a lot of things. They go on field trips. They went to go see lights the other night around the city, and so they're very, very involved, and it's very exciting to see them still engaged and so active.
Oh, my gosh, and they probably go, okay, little Ben, I knew your mama, I knew
exactly.
Your daddy.
That's exactly.
I love that kind of a neighborhood, though.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It really is. And Don Bosco Center, really needed in the neighborhood?
It really is needed in the neighborhood. One of the things that we've done over the past few months is we do our social services predominantly during the daytime. But then in the evening, we've really wanted to engage the community so that they know that Don Bosco Center is their community center. So we host a lot of neighborhood meetings. We have homeowners association meetings here. The housing authority is met to update residents in terms of what's developing in the area, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. And so it is a community center, and we want it to be that. So if people live in the Northeast and they have organizations and they want to try to utilize a facility in the evening, they just need to simply give us a call and or contact us over our website, and we'll be more than happy to make arrangements for them.
Where is the senior center located?
The senior center is actually located at 580 Campbell, which is in the Columbus Park area.
Okay. 580 Campbell, and if people would like to maybe even, you know, volunteer, and you learn so much from our senior citizens. There's so much history. There's so much about life you can learn. I love to listen to them. I just love to listen to the stories.
Oh, I agree. It's fascinating. I mean, the stories they tell and how they've seen the city develop and the lives that they've had, yeah, it really is a very interesting and enjoyable conversation to have.
Ben Cascio is with us from the Don Bosco Center. And what is a way that people can get a hold of you if they'd like to volunteer?
Our main number is 816-421-3160.
What is going on for the holidays for the seniors right now? Okay, they went to look at the lights.
They went to look at the lights. We have a day that we're going to have desserts. They will have a Christmas meal that we serve, and we did a Thanksgiving meal that probably was in excess of 375 people.
Oh, my.
So they're well attended. The seniors really turn out for them. So we'll have a Christmas meal for them as well. There is an opportunity to adopt a senior for Christmas, so that if they have certain needs or if somebody wants to make a donation to buy or have us buy toiletries for them or slippers or something like that, they can certainly just call our number or go to our website, which is www.donbosco.org.
Okay. Okay, great.
And so that's an opportunity. And there's just always opportunities. There's always volunteer opportunities, and there's always donation opportunities, you know, however small or large that individuals want to make.
I'm telling you. How lucky is it, though, for you, growing up in the neighborhood, able to work at the center with going back to your old neighborhood? It's just so much fun.
You know what? It really is. It's really exciting, because I think the Northeast area, again, is kind of poised on the cusp of a renaissance again. We have a lot of young people moving in certain neighborhoods like Pendleton Heights, which is one of the oldest kind of suburbs, supposedly, of Kansas City, and it's a very old part of the city. But we have, like, artists moving into that area, and so all this diversity is just kind of catching on, and we're really seeing a real renaissance in the Northeast area right now.
Awesome. Ben Cascio from the Don Bosco Center. Have a happy holiday. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. You as well.
All right. We have more. Do not touch that dial.
Hang on. There's more on the way with Kathy Quinn and KC Forum.
If you're just tuning in to this radio show, it's called KC Forum, and we talk about public affairs with an entertaining spin, and we talk about things going on in and around the community. And on the line, I have Richard Odium, who is the Director of Clinical Services at the Jewish Family Services of Greater Kansas City. We kind of wanted to get your take on depression. Obviously, at Fox 4, we've had lots of talks of depression with a coworker who just took his own life. He committed suicide, very depressed.
Well, I think it's important to differentiate between clinical depression or serious depression and some of the sad feelings or depressive feelings that we may feel with the inevitable, you know, bumps and ups and downs of life. So we all encounter adversity or have feelings of feeling blue or sad at some point during our lives. But at some point, for some people, that can evolve into some more severe and persistent state that can really be dangerous, as you are well aware. So there's one way of looking at depression as an illness of the mind, and it is that, but it's also more complex than that. So if somebody comes in, for example, and says, am I depressed? There's no definitive answer like a blood test that can tell you that.
Okay.
So there are some things that we talk to and to people about and ask about to determine whether or not we're dealing with major depression or clinical depression. So, and we can talk about those. I mean, on the flip side, we can also look at depression as a continuum of experience, which kind of goes back to your original question. So unlike the flu, where you know, one day you don't have the flu virus and the next day you do, we may also think about depression as more analogous to hunger. So we all feel hunger at certain points during the day, and it's our body telling us we need to do something about it, and we can quickly remedy that problem with something to eat. But malnutrition is a whole different thing, right?
Sure.
So if we use that analogy for depression, that we all kind of have periods of feeling blue or low or sad, and sometimes those are useful feelings because they may indicate some changes that we can make in our lives or things that we can do to improve our situation. But at some point, it can proceed to a point of deep depression where, you know, instead of our bodies kind of physically eating themselves, we end up kind of mentally or psychologically eating at ourselves and get consumed by negative thoughts and feelings that, at the time you're experiencing them and you're in a deep depression, you're convinced they will never go away.
How do I know if somebody close to me is depressed that they really need to go get help and not just say, hey, guys, snap out of it?
Yeah, okay. So let me just talk a little bit about what depression looks like and then kind of at what point we become concerned,
okay.
Right? So somebody who is diagnosed with major depression, there are kind of two cardinal symptoms, and then there's a lot of things that go along with it. So one would be feeling depressed or sad most of the day for many days in a row. So the diagnostic criteria would be 2 weeks, but, I mean, we're looking at for an extended period of time. And if somebody starts to lose interest in some of the things that were really important to them before, so this kind of loss of pleasure is another sign to be aware of. So somebody that just isn't interested in going to play golf with his buddies anymore or requires so much extra effort to play with your kids, you know, so it can kind of have this, you know, almost bleaching or leaching effect and kind of sapping those points in your life that used to be joyful and meaningful that just don't seem that way. Food tastes bland, that kind of thing. And then it can also really start to affect your body, so your appetite. You can lose weight or gain weight depending on how your appetite is affected. You may start having sleep disturbance where it's much more difficult to fall and stay asleep, or perhaps you're sleeping all the time. You noticeably slow down, or you may be agitated during the day. And then I think where it gets really dangerous is where you're starting to have kind of these feelings that come along with it of worthlessness or inappropriate guilt, or you're having recurrent thoughts of death or ideas about suicide, which often can accompany depression, particularly major or severe depression.
How do you help them? You know, how do you get them to make that phone call? How do you get them to go to the doctors?
Yeah, and that's very difficult. I mean, first of all, we want sometimes if we feel like there's an immediate danger, if somebody's at danger of harming themselves, we want to act to keep them safe or keep other people safe. And in that situation, their consent may be less important. We want that loved one to be safe, and it may be taking them to the emergency room or something like that. But short of that, I think we just need to ask the difficult questions, be present for our loved ones and supportive. Certainly if we feel like they're dangerous, not to leave them alone, but to be with them. But it's a difficult thing to do.
Do you see more and more younger people, children, going through depression, or is it a different thing with kids as opposed to adults?
Well, depression hits across the lifespan, so it's definitely present in childhood or adolescence. Often with children, you'll see a little bit more irritability or anger that may be part of some of that pattern that I talked about earlier, although that irritability can be present in adults as well. Often kids manifest some of that along with the depressed mood and the loss of pleasure and some of those other things that we talked about.
Richard, the holidays, a time when you seem to hear about more and more people getting depressed. Why?
Well, it certainly seems that way, right? So I think some of this is that some of this stands in stark contrast to the demands of the season, right, that we be jolly, jolly, merry, merry, right?
Sure.
So anytime we kind of feel a discrepancy between what we have and where we are in life with where we think we should be, we kind of feel the pain of that. So for people particularly that may have a vulnerability to depression anyway, and that may be people that have had prior episodes of depression or may have a family member who has depression, sometimes the stressors that go along with the holiday season can trigger depression. There's a lot of pressure, not only economic pressure, but just pressure to be with people and sometimes in complicated and stressful situations. Sometimes there's a pressure to be perfect or live up to some kind of, you know, happy ideal that we go into the holiday season with a goal of being happy and joyful, and sometimes that's elusive when that's kind of our main goal, if that makes sense.
Sure. We've got Richard Odium on with us, who's the Director of Clinical Services, and we were talking to him about depression, particularly around the holiday season, with just a minute or so to go. If you've got a loved one, you see them kind of down during the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Does talking do any good, do you think? You know, trying to talk to them and try to bring them up?
Well, I think talking to them is certainly helpful. I think sometimes we run into difficulties where we kind of get, you know, a little glib or Pollyannish with people, or just pull yourself up by the bootstraps. But I think if we can ask the difficult questions and just acknowledge that they're hurting and be there and be with them without necessarily our attempt to try and fix it for them, they may be more open to that, if
mm-hmm.
that makes sense.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
If someone would like to call you, Richard, what is your number?
All right. I'm happy to talk to anybody. I work at Jewish Family Services, and our number here is 816-333-1172.
All right. Thank you so very much, giving us a little bit more of an insight into this. And, you know, if people are out there, they need help, give Richard a call.
We'd be happy to talk to anybody who would like more information or assistance from us.
Excellent. Thank you so very much for joining us. And that's it for us this weekend. All right, Katie Connors, our executive producer. She gets us on the air, so does Ed Walker. Thank you so very much. Megan Kelleher, Ann Beckett, and Sarah Clark from Fox 4. Remember, you want to hear it on the website, fox4kc.com/kcforum. Otherwise, we'll see you again from 6:30 to 7 next Sunday morning. And have a safe, safe, wonderful holiday season. See ya.
It's KC Forum with Kathy Quinn.